the Shroud of Turin. After 19 centuries, modern science has at last shown it to the world as the death image of Christ. Children are entranced when they first learn about the Shroud, and their attitude to religion changes. And not only children. In the lecture, I mention what the Shroud did to England's most decorated airman, Group Captain Leonard Cheshire of the Dambuster Squadron. It changed him from a pagan into an eminent Catholic. And other people are coming under its spell. David Rolfe is the producer of a new film about the Shroud of Turin. Let him explain the Shroud's effect on him.
Initially, I first received the historical analysis done by Ian Wilson into the Holy Shroud of Turin, at which time I'd never even heard of the cloth. And one of the things that amazed me was that as a fortunately reasonably well-educated person living and working in London, that something quite as mysterious as this, and obviously with so many questions to answer, as it were, that I could not have heard of it. And that was, I found fascinating and intriguing. And as a filmmaker, I also realized, well, if I hadn't heard of it, and yet I'm finding it so interesting and fascinating, well, there must be a lot of other people like me, and it should be a good subject for the film. Not long after that, I had an opportunity to visit America and the U.S. Air Force Academy, and several of the scientists who were engaged using probably the most sophisticated technology in the world. It was rather fascinating meeting these people. They were dedicated scientists and whose routine work consisted of analyzing, say, if you like, from 9 till 5, the pictures being sent back from Mars and so on this very sophisticated equipment. And as soon as, if you like, their shift was over and they were in their own time, they shoved the pictures of Mars away into a drawer and dragged out these Shroud pictures, which were absolutely mesmerizing them. They couldn't really reconcile the strange results and information they were getting from these photographs. They had expected, as it were, if it were a medieval forgery, to have immediately found the directionality of the brush strokes, some kind of indication of the pigmentation used using color spectroscopy. But instead, all they came up with was some very strange phenomenon this image possessed. For example, the three-dimensional image, which makes it unique, as far as they knew, and we know to this day, in art and photography. And I think talking to those scientists, seeing how seriously they took it, and also the very graphical nature of what they'd actually come up with, for example, in the film, we were able to put on a huge, great big screen, and when you see that three-dimensional green face on a 30-foot screen shimmering up from the Shroud, it's very impressive.
If the Shroud and the Mandylion are, as Ian Wilson suggests, one and the same thing, then that cloth has had a very dramatic history. Yet that curious 14-foot-long piece of ivory-coloured cloth has had its effect on two of the people in this programme, amongst many others, David Rolfe and Ian Wilson.
Well, at the beginning of the film, certainly the last thing I would be described as is a Christian. In fact, I was very much anti-church. I refused to have my daughter christened, and would got very upset if respective grandparents wanted to take her to church. I mean, I was very anti the church, really, I suppose. I hadn't seen any logic behind it. I'd only was really aware of its recent history, which I didn't find too impressive. But in the course of making the film, first of all, mainly through the people I was meeting that I normally wouldn't have met, and discussed not only the Shroud with, but all sorts of other issues as well, it made me look again at the fundamental aspects of Christianity and look at them fairly closely, find that a large number of them stood up to quite logical trains of thought anyway. Plus, I had the parallel experience of the development of the research into the Shroud, which certainly within a couple of years had made me change my own viewpoint, so that now quite categorically I would describe myself as a Christian rather than as anything else.
I was completely and utterly agnostic. In fact, when I began researching the Shroud, I didn't see it as a religious question. I've always been interested in art. I always felt I could look at any painting and say, that's Rembrandt, that's Rubens, that's Turner. The Shroud was something different. I couldn't adduce it either to any artist nor to any artistic school. It was a shock to me. And eventually, and this took many years, I felt I just simply had to try and somehow or other explain to myself what this cloth was and whether it really could be the cloth of Christ. And I must say, I surprised myself with the answers that I came up with. I'm now quite convinced that it is the cloth in which Jesus was wrapped in the tomb, and I'm also now quite convinced of the authenticity of the Christian faith.
Now, as my final comment, I suggest that if contact with the supernatural can have such effect on hard-headed agnostics, you and I and our children must find fortification of faith as we examine some of the Church's miracles in Miracles for Moderns.